Goodness.
Public meeting.
I gotta watch myself. Okay. Alrighty, folks. Welcome to the October Municipal Services Committee. Can't believe it is already the middle of October. I heard a scary fact today is that we won't see another sunset after 6 o'clock until March. Mm-hmm. Is that scary? That kind of bums me out. So, all right. All that means is it's getting closer to ski season. So that's one thing to get excited about. So, all righty. So we've got a good group with us today. And first order of business is to take a motion to approve the September 19th minutes. Could I have a motion?
So moved, Madam Chair. John Coleman.
Thank you, John.
Second, Laurie Spielman.
Fantastic. Any alterations to the minutes as presented? Alrighty, hearing none. All those in favor of approving the minutes, please raise your hand or say aye.
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 Great. Anyone opposed or abstaining?
I think I will abstain since I was not present at the meeting.
All right. So I see Grace and David Porter.
I'm going to abstain as well. I was not there.
I abstain right. As well.
Likewise.
I will also abstain. I wasn't able to attend.
All right, Kim, I think we have enough to still approve that, right? Cool. All right. So we have item three are some reports from the chair and staff. My only comment is thank you very much to all that attended in September. That was a very informative discussion relative to the state's effort on broadband and connectivity. And I want to send my thanks again to the CROG staff for their work they've done on the, I'm going to call it the data portal, for lack of a better term, in the GIS. So thank you very much to CROG staff for that. If those who haven't gone out there to explore it, it's some pretty good data layers that the team has put together. So for all of our uses. So with that, Matt, any report from yourself or
Paul? Yes, I'll keep it relatively short today, Peter. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. A special welcome to people joining us for the first time. And I think we'll spend most of our time today on our discussion of our strategic priorities, so I can weave elements of my report into that. I did want to mention just a couple of things and call on Kim and Pauline to add a few additional items. Number one, we did get a request from one of our members, actually one of your staff members, Peter, regarding fair rent commissions and what can CROG do to provide training to commission members. So there are certainly some resources available right now, which Kim can speak to. And that training can happen locally, or I apologize for the sirens in the background, or we can provide training, virtual training on a regional basis, like we're doing right now for land use commissioners. And that land use training model seems to be working pretty well. We can look to duplicate that on the Fair Rent Commission side if there's an interest. And then on fair rent commissions, those of you who've been attending the committee meetings over the years, you'll recall last year we talked about putting together a legislative proposal that would allow towns to share a fair rent commission. I think that's something we want to revisit for our upcoming legislative agenda. I think some number of you will be participating on our legislative committee, so we can talk about fair rent commissions in that forum too. So I'd like to first turn to Kim, if I could, and she can talk about the upcoming meeting of the Purchasing Coalition. Anything additional you want to add on fair rent commissions, that would be great, Kim. Then we can turn to Pauline to give a brief update on some of our open recruitments and the RPIP program.
Great. Thank you, Matt. So real quick on fair rent housing and commission. I think we visited this about a year ago at MSC, and CROG did reach out, put our feelers out for some training opportunities. And that is still available. If any towns are interested, please let me know. Sarah White is the staff attorney at the Connecticut Fair Housing Center. And we can arrange training that way, or as Matt said, possibly look into a more regional approach to that. So that is the fair housing. More excitingly, the CRPC annual meeting is taking place next Tuesday at the Riverfront Community Center in Glastonbury from 9 to 12. Today is the last day to register. So if you have not registered yet, please do so. If tomorrow comes and you didn't get a chance to register today, let me know and we'll get you signed up. But again, it's from 9 to 12 next Tuesday at the Riverfront Community Center in Glastonbury. And finally, CRPC is collecting quantities right now for gasoline and traffic guidelines. So as most of you know, gasoline is not a piggybackable bid. So make sure you get me your quantities as soon as possible. That bid is going to be issued on November 21st. That's all I have.
So, Kim, can I ask a clarifying question on the, when you say as soon as possible for the gas quantities, is that end of this week?
I think it was the, I think it's tomorrow, yes.
Okay, 18th, okay.
Yep.
Thank you. Pauline, do you have any items?
The only item that I have is our PIT building official. We're actively recruiting right now. That recruitment closes early November. And we'll let you know how that goes. We'll see. And we're still looking for willing participants for shared assessment. Please let me know. Broken record here.
All righty. You guys just heard the solicitation. The plea. So speaking of our PIP, Pauline, my understanding is that that is a rolling application process now. Is that accurate?
Correct. It is.
And is it two communities, or does that have to be more than two communities that could go through CROG
for? It's at least two communities.
Okay.
So I don't think there's a restriction on that there's more restrictions on that, but it does have to be through CROG for that grant.
Okay.
And it is a rolling basis. They review the grant applications, I think, every quarter except during the summer, but don't quote me on that.
Okay. All right. Any questions at this point for either Matt or the other staff? All right, great. So Matt, I'm gonna turn this over to you to talk a little bit about the strategic playbook. This was an effort that a number of us were involved in over the course of the, I'll say spring and in the summer. And so I'm gonna turn it right over to you, Matt, for discussion.
Matt, you're muted.
Kim, can you unmute Matt, or is that?
Kim gave him control over the presentation.
That's scary.
Yeah, I think he's having trouble finding the unmute button.
Well, put it as scary for me. I'm not sure about anybody else, but scary for me.
What's going on here?
Nope. Never heard Matt be so quiet.
Does he know he's muted?
I think so.
Now we've lost him entirely.
Now we lost him totally. He went for a walk.
We're going to try this one more time, folks.
Yes, we are. Okay, can folks hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Pam, I'll just ask you to advance the slide. So I apologize for that, folks. Appreciate the time here. So the strategic playbook, this is something that our policy board and executive committee have already endorsed. And several of you have seen it already. You know, Peter and Lori and John and a few others. And really what we want to talk about today is what role would the committee play in terms of advancing some of the strategic priorities. Next slide, please. So we're going to talk about, you know, first of all, why we prepared the strategic playbook. You know, what was driving this? Well, organizationally, we want to have an opportunity to update our mission statement, prepare a set of organizational values and guiding principles. Our mission statement was somewhat dated. And then also, we wanted to prepare a set of strategic priorities, for the organization and the board to focus on for the next 3 to 5 years. Next slide, please. So again, many of you have had a chance to participate in this initiative already. We embarked upon this past spring. We did retain a local firm, Grossman Solutions, to assist us primarily on the facilitation side. They conducted approximately 30 stakeholder interviews, and we did hold two in-person retreats, one with all of our staff and then another with members of our policy board. And several of you were able to participate in that, and I really appreciate the contributions you made there. So collectively, all of that work comprises our strategic playbook. Next slide, please. So our updated mission statement. In preparing a mission statement, you know, you're looking for something that's meaningful, something that's also concise as well. So here's our updated mission statement, which several of you, again, have seen already. But the Capital Region Council Governments leads. I want to emphasize that word, leads as a catalyst to enhance the quality of life, vibrancy, and vitality of the Greater Hartford region. And that CROG provides planning, programs, and services to its members, to its member municipalities, and is the region's designated metropolitan planning organization, or MPO. And that we are, CROG is a strong advocate for the region and regional solutions. So I do want to, again, emphasize that word leads. This is a set of strategic priorities that we are seeking to elevate, and where CROG will lead on behalf of the region. Next slide, please. So the core values that we identified, again, this was through an iterative exercise. We've got four of them. Number one, that we're member focused. So we're really focused on your needs. We're focused on your needs, you know, our members. Number two, we want to ensure that our work is impactful and high performing. Third, we're going to continue to work in a collaborative and inclusive way. And then fourth, but certainly not least, we want to be a champion for innovative approaches to our work. Next slide, please. So to accompany our core values, we identified a set of guiding principles, you know, and we've got four of those as well. Number one, we're going to use sound planning principles and practices and database solutions that incorporate best practices in our work. Number two, we're going to continue to embrace diversity and promote equity, inclusion, and belonging in the programs and services we provide, as well as our work on the planning side. Third, we're going to continue to apply a lens of sustainability from an environmental, economic, and equity perspective to our work. And then fourth, but certainly not last, we recognize that the success of our individual members depends on the success of our region overall. So we're all in this together. Next slide, please. We also developed a strategic framework, and I think the strategic framework is particularly relevant to the Municipal Services Committee, because this is the committee that oftentimes generates ideas for new CROG services and programs. So in thinking about how we do that, we thought it would be helpful to have a strategic framework here. And Peter and other policy board members were very helpful in terms of developing this. So number one, a new initiative would need to be compatible with our overall mission and fall within our capacity and capability, either with existing or new resources. Number two, and this is getting at our core values, it should be member focused, designed to help us do our work more efficiently and effectively. Third, give us an opportunity to innovate. Recall, innovation is one of our core values, as is collaboration and partnership. Fourthly, that the initiative would be impactful for several of our towns, including those of different sizes and demographics. Fifth is that, and again, this gets at our core values as well, the new initiative would help to promote equity and environmental and economic sustainability. And then last, but certainly not least, the new initiative would comply with state and federal requirements. So it's not as though every new initiative needs to tick all of these boxes, but it should align with several. Next slide, please. So we and this is where I want to spend the most of our time, is on the 8 strategic priorities that we identified through this work and that comprise our strategic playbook. And we'll move through each one, those where I think the Municipal Services Committee could play a greater role, I'll spend more time on those that I think other aspects or other departments within the organization are in a better position to lead, I'll spend less time on. Next slide, please. Okay, so each of those priority areas does include one or more goals and a series of action steps. So we're going to work as a staff and with the guidance of our committees to implement those action steps, and we're going to provide you with periodic updates. Next slide, please. So the first one I want to spend some time on is in the area of governance and communications. And I think the Municipal Services Committee can certainly help identify some of the key policy issues facing our region. So number one, we want to create a forum primarily for the policy board for substantive policy discussions that are related to key issues and challenges, as well as opportunities facing our members in the region. That can be things like housing, workforce development, traffic safety, any number of things. And right now, our policy board meetings are business heavy. You know, we're trying to get through the business as quickly as we can, and there isn't a lot of time for policy discussion. So over the coming year, we're going to experiment with creating some time for the policy board to engage in those discussions. And I think the Municipal Services Committee can certainly drive some of the topics that we choose to discuss. Next slide, please. We also want to continue to refine our communication strategy to promote our awareness of our work, not only to our members, but you know, to the general public as well, but with a real focus on municipal staff, making sure that the staff working for all of our 38 member municipalities have good familiarity and knowledge of what CROG can provide and how we best serve our members. And you see some number of action steps related to that. Next slide, please. So moving on to our second strategic priority. And this we've been very focused on over the past year, as you know, going to continue to assist our members with leveraging funding from the bipartisan infrastructure law and related infrastructure grant programs. And at an upcoming meeting, next slide, please. At an upcoming meeting, we really want to focus on how's it going? How's it going for you? How's it going for the region overall? How are we doing in terms of preparing competitive applications? What type of barriers are we facing? And how can we overcome those barriers? So it's really our chief priority in this area is helping all of you prepare competitive applications under this time limited funding source. Next slide, please. So moving on to the next area, and I apologize again for the sirens in the background. The policy board at its last meeting just approved our updated Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, or our SEDS. So what's a SEDS, if you're not familiar with it? It's a conglomeration of all of the major economic development initiatives across the region. And some of the things that we highlighted in particular are support for workforce development initiatives, private and public sector, continuing our work to facilitate mixed use, mixed income, and transit-oriented development, and creating a regional business recruitment and retention program. In this area, you know, our Department of Regional Planning and Development, I think, would take the lead, but Municipal Services Committee can inform this work as well. Next slide, please. And here are some of the related action steps that I just touched on. We need to add resources to adequately implement the SEDS, to promote equity, continue to promote our brownfields remediation program, and build a network of local government economic development professionals. Next slide, please. The next goal, this is one where I think our Department of Regional Planning and Development can take the lead, working with the Regional Planning Commission. And we also have a Planning and Economic Development Forum, which is comprised of planning and economic development staff from your communities. So we want to prepare next slide, please. As a key action step here, we want to prepare a comprehensive housing strategy for the region. And we're going to partner with housing-based organizations and other key stakeholders on that work. We'll likely develop a housing toolkit as well. So when we're talking about housing here, we're not just talking about affordable housing and workforce housing, which are two very, very important components, but we think the demand now is even larger than that. And it's a broader spectrum of housing we need to look at. Next slide, please. So the next strategic priority relates to regional environmental services. And here, I think the Municipal Services Committee can play a significant role. And there are three goals here that we've combined together. The first is to continue our work to implement the key recommendations in our waste management study. We have reestablished the Central Connecticut Solid Waste Authority, or CSWA, for those of you who are familiar with it. Some of you are members. Weathersfield and Manchester and 12 others. So 13 of the members are within CROG, and then we've got the town of Cromwell as well. So CSWA is taking a lead, working with us to implement the recommendations outlined in this waste management study. But we also want to make sure that we are assisting our other members with respect to solid waste management. And I think that's where the MSC can continue to play a key role. Next slide, please. The next goal relates to stormwater management. You'll recall we discussed that last year, and we are getting a state grant probably this winter where we can do some initial planning, where we can prepare an initial regional stormwater management plan. And I think as part of that work, we want to take a hard look at stormwater utilities on both a local level and a regional level. And I think the Municipal Services Committee can help us create a good technical advisory committee for this project and provide oversight. Next slide, please. And the third goal in this area is we're going to continue our work to address the challenges of climate change. And we have recently talked about our natural hazards mitigation plan. As you know, we're getting a roughly $1 million grant to prepare this climate pollution reduction grant strategy so that we can prepare viable climate action plans on behalf of the region. So in this area, I really think Municipal Services Committee can play a significant role. Next slide, please. The next area I think is more suitable for transportation planning and the Transportation Committee advising the Policy Board, which serves as our MPO. I think the Department of Regional Planning and Development will play a role here too, those two departments working together to improve road safety for all road users. And we want to continue our work to promote micromobility and complete streets. And you see some of the action steps outlined here. Next slide, please. So related to that, we want to continue our efforts to promote bus and rail service. Again, I see transportation planning taking the lead here, working with the Transportation Committee and reporting to the Policy Board. We want to focus on improving rail service. We are reestablishing the CT Fast Track Hartford Line Corridor Advisory Committee is actually meeting this Friday after a hiatus. And we'll have two co-chairs. The Mayor Sherry Cantor from West Hartford will represent CROG, and First Selectman Mike Frieda from North Haven, those of you who are familiar with him, will be the co-chair from the Central Connecticut Council of Governments. So looking forward to getting that work going as well. Next slide, please. We're going to continue to coordinate with the DOT. The Greater Hartford Mobility Study, if you're not familiar with it, that's a very, very significant project. And at our next policy board meeting, the commissioner of the DOT and his team are going to come in and talk about where they are with that project. And I think that's something we're going to have to review and scrutinize closely on behalf of our region. Next slide, please. Bus service, we don't want to forget about bus service, including rural transit. You know, what are some good models for some of the underserved areas of our state, including many of your communities? What are best practices with respect to rural transit? Is it on-demand microtransit? You know, increasingly, we're seeing that as a successful model in other parts of the country. Again, transportation planning, I think, would take the lead here. Next slide, please. Here's another strategic priority where I see Municipal Services Committee playing a very significant role. And that is in the area of public sector workforce development, in particular at the local government level, right? So there's a lot of work happening, as we know, to promote workforce development in the private sector, which is great. The state's very focused on that. The state is also focused on state employment and building a pipeline for state jobs, and they've made some good progress there. In my view, and I think Peter and others would share it, there's not as much attention being played either in Connecticut or nationally on local government, and we have the same type of needs. So CROG has stepped into this space, working with UConn, working with Capital Workforce Partners, working with CCM and others, to develop pipelines for key municipal occupations. We're trying a pilot with a couple, and hopefully that model is something we can replicate. So right now we are very, very focused on developing a pipeline for building code officials. And we're looking at developing an actual apprenticeship program for building code officials. Some of you are involved in that work. And then in another area, that's in the area of EMS. EMS, you know, we've heard from you and others that that's a critical need. This committee could take the lead in working with CROG staff to assess the capacity of our EMS systems here in our region, particularly at from the staffing perspective. So that is a study that this committee could conduct at some point in the future. Next slide, please. So we're approaching the end here. I want to continue our work to help our municipalities share services. And we've got the three RPIP grants that we've been talking about for several months now. You know, we're making the most progress with animal control. We're hopeful that we'll be able to make some progress with the building code official, as Pauline explained. We're recruiting for someone right now. We've really struggled to get the assessment program off the ground. And all it takes is two towns that want to work together. I know change is hard. I know change is hard. It can be difficult to abandon a model that's been working for you over the past several years, even though you know in the back of your mind that that model is not ideal and leaves you in a somewhat vulnerable place. So I do think we need to continue to focus on this, and we want to have a robust conversation on the RPIP program itself so that we can dig into what's working and what's holding some of you back from participating in this. And if these three applications that we applied for, if in retrospect, those really aren't what we need right now, what really should we focus on in the future? So we want to have that hard conversation in the not too distant future. Next slide, please. And then lastly, we want to provide direct services through CROG only where desired and feasible. As you know, the vast majority, very little of CROG's work is in the form of providing direct services to our residents and citizens. You are the ones who do that. You know, our role is primarily to assist you in serving your residents and your taxpayers. But the extent to which there is an interest in CROG providing more direct services, you know, we can continue to explore that primarily through this committee. Some action steps that we've identified here and Peter noted our good work in the area of GIS and building our data center. We want to build that out. You know, I want to commend Eric Snowden and others for their work there. And then increasingly want to develop a municipal resource library that has toolkits, model regulations and policies, best practices, et cetera, that you can tap into, that you can tap into, modify, and employ in your communities. Next slide, please. I think that could be, that's the last substantive one. So again, we're going to use this strategic playbook to guide our decisions for the next 3 to 5 years. We'll provide periodic updates to our committees, to our executive committee, to our policy board, and there are several, which I highlighted, where I think the Municipal Services Committee could play a key role. So if you want to advance it, thank you. Thank you, Kim, one more time. Great. Peter, I'll turn the floor back over to you. Again, I apologize for the trouble getting started and would like everyone's input.
Thank you, Matt, for the overview. There's a lot there. Obviously, this is a 3 to 5 year strategic plan. I think as an organization, already have some head start on a few of these goals, but some of them are definitely very large undertakings, and it'll need all of us as community leaders to participate to move and advance the ball down the field. So I'd like to open it up right now if there's questions for Matt or if there's specific areas that you think that Municipal Services Committee may be able to focus in on over the course of the next 12 months or so. Anybody have any thoughts?
I think as far as the assessment program goes, I think focusing on regional revaluation is still something that needs to be looked into. I think having reevaluations become a regional thing will save the smaller towns a lot of money. I don't know sharing all of the assessment tasks is doable, but I think it's something to continue looking into.
Thanks, Kim. Can I put this out there, not to deviate too far from the topic, but in terms of the revaluation, is the cost, what we've encountered here is the cost is doing the field. Those every 10 years you have to do the field check, and you know, we've used data mailers and try to skirt that requirement a little bit. Is that the biggest challenge that we have out there? Is there a legislative approach that perhaps we should consider to lessen the burden and make it more of a statistical review versus having to do field checks? I put that out there right now just for thought. And maybe is that something from a legislative perspective that we should be thinking about?
I definitely agree with that. We did our revaluation in 2021 during COVID, and we turned a full physical reval into a data mailer based revaluation, and it was still considered a good, valid revaluation.
Yeah, I know. So something to think about maybe, Matt, for legislative, as you put that together. I'm not sure.
Yes, thank you.
If that rate rises to the top and make it to an agenda, but certainly something we could bring to either cost or CCM as well.
And if I could elaborate on Kim's point for a moment.
Please.
I think any of the RPIP programs, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be the service in its entirety, as Kim was saying. So looking at assessment, maybe it's not the full set of assessment services. Maybe it's a discrete element like commercial appraisal, you know, which is a smaller component of many, many local tax bases, you know, and a specialty in and of itself. You probably have the same thing with respect to building inspection, you know, looking at the various specialty disciplines there. So as we look to implement these RPIP programs in the future, again, the point is it doesn't have to be the full service. It can be important components of those.
Great. Any other thoughts in terms of, I mean, Matt had put some suggestions there where municipal services might be able to maybe lean into over the next few years. Is there anything, any thoughts and comments regarding, I heard infrastructure, solid waste, maybe the climate planning grant, which to be honest with you, I had totally forgotten about and probably need to get up to speed on. $1 million sounds like a lot, but in today's world may not go as far as we think it will. Then obviously workforce development and shared services. Those are the areas that I heard Matt emphasize, or at least rang true to me. So anybody have any thoughts on those? Should we?
Hey, Peter, Maria. I was really excited to see that Matt added the workforce development piece. I think that really goes hand in hand with a lot of the regional service sharing initiatives that are underway. And just given the makeup, you know, of some of the folks on this committee, I know not only myself, but, you know, a lot of my counterparts also have HR responsibilities in the communities that they're working in. So I think that's, you know, sort of a related aspect to those regional initiatives that I think that, you know, myself and probably some of the other members on this committee could be helpful with.
Great. Thanks, Maria.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, again, it's yes, Andy.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I was going to echo Maria. I had the same exact thought. I was really excited to see the workforce development piece in there. And in that same lane, just the RPIP grants, we're really interested in the building official one. So I know there's a lot of work going into that. So we're looking forward to hearing about those next steps. But I think that's a really important piece, and it's not something that's being done by a lot of other agencies. So I think there's a void there, and I'm really excited to see that CROG is stepping in and leading in that area. But overall, I thought that the presentation was great, and I'm excited to kind of see the direction that we're going and happy to be part of it.
Thanks, Andy. Anybody else have any thoughts? All right. Don't hear any. I'm very interested at some point for us to get up to speed, maybe over the winter, on where solid waste and CSWA is, Matt. Maybe even just a staff report, just to get us up to date on where they stand. So we can make so we can start to, if we need to start having conversations with our councils regarding the possibility of joining, things like that, just to be able to help frame that, those decision points, perhaps. So,
yes, so we would, Robin and I would love to do that. CSWA would also like to recruit new members, so we all want to be able to talk about what we see as the strategic vision for CSWA and how it can benefit all of our communities, or at least the vast majority of
them. Yep. I know that's on our list for future agenda items, so that's great. All righty. Kim, I'm not sure if you're leading this component regarding the bid schedule.
That's up to you, Pauline. Either or.
Oh, I guess I did say I was going to do it, didn't I? So this is our bid schedule for this coming year. As you know, we do about 14 to 20 bids a year. This is the light year where we don't have the 2 year bids in. And I think the question was, is there anything that the members here have that they can't get through state contract or through our bids that they're interested in us bidding out? We do, because the CRPC annual meeting is next week, it's a good time to sort of get that input from you and bring that back. We did hear, so yeah.
Great. Anybody have, at perusing that schedule, anything jump out that we want to perhaps suggest?
Maybe Pauline and Kim, if you could talk just a little bit more in terms of how we identify commodities or services to include here.
So in the process. So basically this is, Kim and I inherited this list to some degree, right? Over the years, it was first developed and we added on as things went along. And usually it comes from one of our towns says, hey, we really need swimming pool chemicals because there's no state bid for it. And we need to, I think a good example, we added bituminous something or other to having to do with roads, because the state bid had lapsed, and so there was no way for the towns to be able to purchase it. And so we will go to the CRPC, their executive committee, or the annual meeting and say we would like to add this item. We add the item, and then with that we talk to subject matter experts and figure out what exactly we need to be asking for. And then we collect quantities from towns and go through that process as that you're all familiar with. And then we put out the bid and then the towns, the difference between these bids and most of our other contracts is that these bids are the town awards the contract. So you can take the results and based on what your needs are, award the bid to the best vendor for you. So swimming pool chemicals, grass seed fertilizer is a great example. There's like 200 items on that list and every town needs something different. And so what works for Mansfield might not work for Ellington. And so you look at what your needs are and make the award based on what your quantities are going to be.
Thanks, Pauline. One thought just comes to mind, Pauline and Kim. There's so many different new purchasing cooperatives that are out there, especially on a national level. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if anything's on the website, or maybe there's something that that you folks have a resource that you might be able to share with all the members of Municipal Services Committee and others You know, I know the town of Windsor's used some of the national ones to our advantage in the last several years. If nothing else, may not save a lot more money, but it sort of save a lot of time in terms of the procurement process. So
yeah,
if you have any of those resources, maybe we could just refresh and send it out, refresh everyone's minds.
Yeah, I believe we have a section on our website that has those links, but and definitely those are very useful. And sometimes if somebody wants a bid and there's already a national cooperative like Sourcewell or someplace out there that already has one, then we'll direct them there as opposed to doing a process ourselves. It really depends on the commodity and what people are looking for.
All righty. Sounds like we can move on to another item for discussion. And this was brought to us by David in Marlborough. We've talked about this many moons ago regarding community surveys and engagement services. And so if you don't mind, David, I'd like to just kind of kick it over to you and kind of let you talk a little bit about the genesis of this thought and maybe how Grog and then the committee can discuss a little bit about how maybe this group in the, can work towards perhaps engaging or the next steps rather.
Sure. Thank you, Peter. So I'm still relatively new in Marlborough, but as I sort of get the lay of the land and figure out the kinds of things that we're going to be discussing over the course of the next year or so, I imagine that a lot of these same issues will be familiar to everyone else on the call, but we're looking at some commercial and residential development within the next year or so. We're probably going to need to make a decision about whether to move forward with the construction of a new fire station, and if so, kind of the scope and scale of that project. Parks improvements, recreational programming, social services, especially senior services, and a whole variety of transportation related issues. And as in every community that I've ever worked in, including in Marlborough, the challenge often is distinguishing the signal from the noise and figuring out how to what the broader community wants, as opposed to the loudest members of the community who may show up to your council meeting. And moreover, I'm trying to figure out a good way to engage those for whom evening meetings may not be convenient. And at the same time, address the criticism usually levied after a decision has already been made, that decisions are not sufficiently transparent, you know, usually levied by the people who come up short, who would have preferred that the opposite decision be made, who then sort of tend to attack the process. And so I'm wondering if this very experienced group of colleagues in communities, including many communities far larger than Marlborough, have had any success accomplishing these goals, and if so, what tools you have used to do it. I've done some sort of preliminary conversations with like Zen City, Polco, Flash Vote, but I'd really like to tap into the collective wisdom of this group.
Thank you, David. Certainly a challenging topic. And each of us have dealt with it in our own way. And so I'd like to open it up. And any thoughts, suggestions, ideas, war stories? Jonathan, you must have done something down there in Fairfield County you can bring back here. Well,
you read my mind, Peter. I was trying to unmute, as you said. Well, I have the pleasure of, when I worked for Peter in Windsor, being a part of their citizen survey. So that was a really good experience. And Windsor had done it for years. So it was wonderful to be a part of that and just see how things change when you're asking predominantly the same questions over time. And I, you know, unashamedly stole that and brought it down to Weston. And we did our first, I think, ever citizen survey. So it was good. It was a lot of work doing it for the first time. but I think it provided a lot of insight to not only the elected officials, but to all those other people in town who may be making all kinds of noise. And what people learned was, hey, you know what? Some of the ideas we thought people harbored don't exist anymore. And I think it was a catalyst for including a lot of changes. We did it as part of the POCD. So it was prep for the plan of conservation and development. And I think it set, you know, down there, the town on a trajectory to do a little bit more development. And also one great thing about the Windsor survey was it asked folks in the community to talk about their perception of the quality of various services, and asked folks to grade the services in terms of importance. And so that was also helpful as we did budgets, because, you know, the information was there as to what people value, where people thought things needed improvement, where they're really happy with. So I think that also helped, you know, it's crunch time to figure out, well, how do we prioritize things in the budget? You can refer back to that, and it's a very powerful tool. So that's a little bit of my experience.
Jonathan, thanks. Is there any way you could share that to us?
Yeah, I think the Windsor one is available on their website. And I think the Weston one, if you go to, you Google Weston Plan or Conservation and Plan of Conservation and Development, I think you'll see somewhere along the list of documents and meeting minutes, the survey and results.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Is this something that is done annually, or how frequently is this administered, and what are sort of the mechanics of it?
Oh, I can speak to Windsor. When we were doing it, we did it every other year, and it was done in-house. And it was, as Jonathan said, it was a lot of work. We basically have gotten away from using that tool primarily because of the we lost some of our in-house capabilities. And then when we looked to do outsource it, it was at that time it was around $15,000 to $20,000, and so we've backed off of that every other year cycle, David. But we had primarily done it in-house and setting up around
here in Bloomfield. We did, like Jonathan did in Weston, we've used the POCD process. We just finished the survey, but we did both the survey, both mail and social media, and again, the results are up on our website. We've also used a survey, again, either email or social media, for the town manager search. We did the town manager search in-house. We used the consultant for the POCD process. We have not done it annually, but we have done it for a variety of projects on a project specific. And as you said, Peter, it is a fairly labor intensive process, particularly if you want to do it in-house. But it is effective and has given us really good feedback, both on the POCD side and on the town manager search side. We also used some focus groups as part of, particularly on the POCD, both large and small. We probably did about 20 focus groups. But again, we had a consultant that were leading those.
Great. Matt, I see your hand up.
Yeah, just a question. I think this is a great discussion here. Is there an interest in exploring something of a regional bid process, if you will, you know, to identify firms or platforms to conduct this work? You know, looking at Zen City, Polco, and others, you know, there are a handful nationally that specialize in this work. We'd have to look if, number one, you know, getting back to that strategic framework that we talked about earlier, is there sufficient interest on the part of our members? And then we could look to when and how we would build that into our work plan.
I think from my perspective, Matt, there'd be an interest, but we used a very capable local firm.
You know, I think it might depend on folks' budgets. I mean, we did it in-house, and we used, we had the good fortune of some folks who worked in the industry of, you know, data analytics and surveying in corporate America. So that really helped a lot. So, you know, it might come down to what people's budgets are. It'd be interesting to see the one that you mentioned that was in your town, how much they charge, how that all shook out, but might have to, you know, come down to price sensitivity. But even if those prices existed, you know, maybe those prices came in at, you know, we'll charge this much for, you know, a community of this size, this much for a community of that size, folks could then make their own determination if that fits within their budget, or, you know, maybe they could do it in-house at a less expensive cost.
I think another distinction that I'm kind of struggling with is that on one end of the spectrum, you can take the Windsor and Weston model, where it's very labor intensive, costly, but yields excellent data about what your community wants, and you can be assured that the data that you get back is statistically significant, that it actually represents how your community really feels. And then on the other end, you might have companies that give you a link to put on your Facebook page, and that gets passed around, but there's not necessarily, it's obviously much lower cost, but there's not necessarily any reason to believe that the data that you get back is any higher quality than if you listen to the loud people who show up to your town council meetings. And so I'm wondering, and I think that Matt makes a very good point, is there some sort of middle ground, you know, could we as a group or enlist CROG to help us sort of negotiate some kind of a package with one of these national firms that could help some of the smaller communities create a pool and take a sample that is actually representative of their community at a cost that they can afford, because it's not just financial cost. I mean, I'm thrilled and impressed that Peter, you in Windsor have devoted the staff resources to do this project every other year. I'm not even sure that that's a decision to be made in Marlborough. I mean, we just don't have the headcount, the number of people to take off of other jobs, even if we wanted to say, yes, this is important to us. So we're, I think by definition, would need to outsource it. And as such, I guess it would be helpful to have a little bit more heft out in the market when we're sort of negotiating that contract.
Does anybody have any other thoughts? It's been certainly been a topic in the past that we've kicked around here, and we kind of got to a similar point where we didn't really have any, I would say, enough communities to express a willingness to do a common survey. I just shared with Kim a link to a firm that they're out of the Kansas City area. They do national surveys for municipalities, and they've been doing it for 25 or 30 years. And so it's a standard survey with a little bit of ability to customize it. But there's several communities or firms that do that stuff. So could it be done, you know, with 5 or 10 communities joining together to reduce that cost? That's that possibility. And I don't know, I guess we need to have feedback from the group if there's enough energy and desire to do that, to make it a priority to be put on the work plan in the calendar year 24 or at least for Matt and his team to consider. So Matt, I see your hand raised.
And one thing we could do, Peter, is we could survey the CROG membership. pun intended, to determine whether or not there's a sufficient interest in survey and engagement services for citizen satisfaction surveys, for planning initiatives, et cetera. So we could do that. You know, we could prepare a little survey that we send out and report back to this committee on the results.
So I would like to see that done, just so we can get a sense of it, and we can, you know, that way there David's not waiting around for wondering if we're going to do something or not. But there's three or four communities that want to do it, and maybe those communities, you know, combine to do something and try to negotiate a deal.
Yeah, I would add it, just, you know, as I've preached many times from my perch as chair of the transportation committee, I think that anything that Prague can do to increase its services to the smaller rural communities would be of great benefit. So I would strongly support an effort to see if we can find a way to help David gather the information that would be useful for him in Marlboro. Great.
Thank you for sharing that, John. So, all right.
So we'll plan to do that then.
Yeah, I think that would be a good thing, Matt. Maybe shoot that out in the coming weeks.
Okay, so I'll coordinate with Kim on that.
Thank you. All righty. I am trying to get back to my agenda here. Thank you, David, for bringing that topic forward. In terms of municipal information sharing, all I can say is, anybody have any ideas how to stop these crazy car break-ins? If you have any good ideas other than that does not break the law, send them to me, because my council thinks it's as simple as putting one extra officer on duty at night to cover 30 square miles and stop this car break-ins. And
we're back to horse and wagon.
I think so.
Are these the Kia Hyundai ones, or is it more than?
This is anything, and now it's no longer, we're telling people to keep their cars unlocked because they're just smashing windows.
Yeah, Peter, I know the town of West Hartford a couple years ago, through the police department, conducted a campaign. It was like a 9 o'clock, remember to lock your doors. And, you know, it did gain some traction. It was primarily through social media. So that's one strategy I would suggest, because in West Hartford, I'm sure it holds true everywhere, the vast majority of break-ins, the cars were not locked. Sometimes keys were left in the car, wallets left in the car. Amazing. But that's the majority of it.
Different strategy now. We have done that campaign for 9 months in a row now. Now, last night we had 21 break-ins, 19 of them were smashed windows. So now our residents are saying, screw you, town. We're locking our cars and we're now getting our windows smashed. So we're just going to leave them unlocked. So I say that out of venting, and you folks are my therapy group this afternoon. So thank you for letting me vent.
Peter, are they mainly at single family homes or are they at multifamily units?
Mainly single family, John. So. Yeah. All in a matter of about 45 minutes to hour. So it doesn't make a difference what part of town. A month ago it was the northern part of town. Last night it was the southern part of town. So, and Vernon and Manchester also got some level of impact last night too. Apparently,
it's obviously a small group roaming.
Yeah. So.
Well, Peter, same thing in Glastonbury. One of our members of the council is a Hartford cop, so he knows all these statistics, and he, you know, quite forcibly made a scene about it at the last council meeting. And, you know, maybe it's something that, you know, communities in the CROG, if they want to get together and we could just talk about it and maybe get our chiefs together a little bit and just do some brainstorming. You know, I'd be up for that.
We're now looking at adding more of the stationary LPR. But what we found is that when they hit the LPRs, the license plates are stolen or the car stolen. And so by the time we get to that, you know, two miles across town, the car is nowhere to be found, and or they've dumped it somewhere. So, but yeah, I would be more than happy to have that conversation with the, you know, through the police chiefs. But I think they're all pulling their hair out too. They're very frustrated. So, Matt.
Well, Peter, if the committee wants, I'd be happy to have a conversation with Cheryl Assis, our Director of Public Safety and Homeland Security, who most of you know. And we do staff CRCOPA, that's mm-hmm. the Capital Region Police Chiefs Association. Obviously, we've got SREPSI on the emergency management side. So, you know, we would certainly be happy to host a regional conversation on the topic if there's sufficient interest. I'm guessing there is.
Well, my thought is maybe we have some conversations with our chiefs and see if their level of interest, and maybe we can give feedback. I think what I hear from a couple of chiefs that I've spoken to is state law's got to change. There's got to be enforcement. There's got to be consequences. Because we've had a couple of examples where we have made an arrest, and within 2 or 3 hours, that young individual is off on their own again. So kind of to Mark's point that he just put there. I mean, that's what you're going to hear from a number of chiefs, but I think it's an issue that's plaguing all of us, no matter if we're 30,000 town, 120,000 community, or a 3,000 person town. It's happening. So.
All right. So we'll wait then to hear back from you. You'll talk with your chiefs. You'll talk with your chiefs and follow up. Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. So, anybody else have any items? I mean, I bring it up not to dominate that talk, that section of the agenda, but is there any other information that we want to share at this point in time? Matt clearly made a plea for folks relative to the legislative agenda. So if folks want to be interested in that, there's opportunities there to have input and participation. Anything else? Okay. So we have a list of future topics. Some of them were obviously related back to the strategic playbook, which was, believe it or not, done very methodically and with a logic to it. So, so we'll be pulling that together for the next meeting, which I believe we're combining November and December meeting. Is that correct, Pauline and Kim? Great.
December 5th is our next meeting.
And is that in person or a virtual meeting? I can't recall.
Virtual,
great. And then when do the offices move? January?
The planned date of the move is January 12th. I'm like crossing fingers, hoping that's, of course, it's Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, but the plan is the Friday the 12th, we move, and then hopefully.
Is this going to be one of those things, beer and pizza, bring your work?
Well, actually, we're going to have everybody pack up that week and then work from home the actual days of the move, because they'll just get in the way, except for maybe two or three people. So a couple people here, a couple people there to direct the movers. But other than that, most people will be working from home that day.
All right.
I hope.
I'm glad to see Matt allowed you guys to hire a mover.
Yeah. I don't think I gave him a choice. I put it in the budget.
All right. Great. All right. The next meeting date, can you just refresh my memory?
December 5th.
December 5th. Great.
Yep.
All right. December 5th. We will get an agenda out tail end of November, so everyone has it on their calendar. So anything else for the good of the order?
Peter, this is Matt. I would just add, you know, the fact that David reached out and requested that we add an agenda item on survey and engagement services, and we had a robust discussion today. I think that that's a great example, right, of the value of this committee.
Right.
And absolutely. Really would encourage you all to feel free to do that. You know, if there's an item you're working on, reach out to Peter and me or Pauline and Kim, and we'll look to add it on the agenda.
Great. Thank you, Matt, for reinforcing that. So, all righty, folks. I'm going to say that we're adjourned at 1:12. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.
See you soon.
Take care. Thanks.
Thank you.